long time ago, there was a widow. A widow means a lady whose husband passed away, and she was all by herself, and she had to go far, far away, traveling on a trip. Now, she happened to be a very wealthy lady. She lived in a beautiful house in Yerushalayim, and she had a lot of money, and now she has to go far, far away. Now, the money that she had were golden coins. She did not want to take bags of golden coins on the trip because it was too heavy, and she didn't need so much money. She also didn't want to just leave it in the house, because if chas v'shalom something would happen while she's away and somebody would come in the house, chas v'shalom, her money could disappear. And she was afraid maybe somebody's going to see her going far, far away on a trip, and they know she's going away and she's all alone, and they know nobody else lives in the house. So maybe they're going to go and, you know, go into her house while she's away on the trip. So she decided on a plan that she should have her money safe. This is what she did. She took some clay pots, big clay pots, and she put her money, the coins, in the bottom of the clay pots, a few of them. So this lady took a few big clay pots. She put the coins in the bottom of the pots. Each pot had a big pile of coins in the bottom. She didn't want anybody to know they're there, so she filled the rest of the pots with honey, sticky honey, until the honey was till the top, and all you see is the honey. And since the honey is thick, if you look down at the bottom, you can't see the gold coins. And since the pots are heavy, with honey anyway, you can't tell that besides honey, there is money. You only think that there's honey, and you don't know there's money. And also, since the honey is thick and sticky, if you shake around the pots, you can't hear the coins because they're in the honey. They're swimming in the honey and they're at the bottom. So this was like a hiding way, a hiding place. Now, next door to this lady was another big house. And over there lived a man, a neighbor. And the lady went next door, asked the neighbor. She went next door and she asked the neighbor, "I'm going away on a trip. I'll go away for a while. Could you please watch for me a few things from my house? I want to make sure that everything is okay. Can you watch for me these clay pots of honey? I mean, I don't want them to get, you know, broken or spill or anything. And I want to make sure they're, you know, they're safe when I get back, because it's in such good, nice honey. Can you keep them in your house while I'm away?" And the man says, "Sure. No problem. After all, you're my neighbor. I'll do you the favor and watch the pots of honey." And he took the pots of honey and he put them down in his basement. "Oh, these are heavy. Yeah, it's a lot of honey in there. They're big pots." Okay, the lady left and she went away on her long trip, and the honey was in the basement. Now, it happened a few days later, maybe a couple of weeks later, the story doesn't say, but sometime later, that the man made some kind of a simcha or some kind of a party in his house. And at the last minute, when they were baking and they were getting ready and preparing the food, they needed a lot of honey. And the man did not have the honey. they were out of honey and they needed it for the simcha. Maybe they have to make cakes and cookies and things and sweet things. And in those days, they used honey for the sweet part of the food. Of course, we use it now. We also use sugar. In those days, they used more honey. The man remembered, hey, in the basement, there are those big pots full of honey. And the lady's away. She doesn't need the honey. And I need the honey now. Well, instead of having a party without sweet things and without cookies and cakes, I'll use the honey. And later on, before she comes back, I'll put back the honey. I'll borrow the honey. And by the time she gets back, I'll put back all the honey that I borrowed, and it'll be the same thing. After all, she doesn't need it now. And he went down to the basement, and he started pouring out the honey into his own bowls and his own pots that he's going to take up to the kitchen. And he takes the first pot, and he pours out the honey. The doggies know that I'm telling the story. They always come out during story time and start barking their heads off. When he gets down to the bottom of the pot, all of a sudden he sees, hey, what's at the bottom of the pot over here? Doesn't look like honey. It looks more like money. Ooh. And all of a sudden he reaches in and he pulls out golden coins covered with honey. Where did this money come from? It didn't come from the honey. This is really money. Oh boy, a lot of money. Each gold coin is worth so much. He figured out, oh, must be that the lady next door, the reason she gave me the honey is not because she was worried about the honey. She was worried about the money at the bottom of the honey. And if somebody would steal it from her house, it wouldn't be very funny. So she decided she's going to take care of her money. But she has to hide it. So where did she hide it? In the honey. A perfect hiding place for her money. And she gave it to me, thinking that I'll just think it's honey. I wouldn't know down at the bottom is money. And I will put it in my basement until she comes back, and she'll pick up her honey. And she'll know that she's getting also her money. And it'll be safe in my house. Isn't that funny? But all of a sudden, I have discovered at the bottom of the honey that there's really hidden money. And this man was not a very honest man. In fact, he wasn't honest at all. And he decided that he is going to steal the money. And when the lady comes back, he's going to give her back her pots of honey. But there will be no money in the honey. Just honey without money. Now, this is not very funny because he did steal the money. He started to get out the golden coins and he put them away. Probably later on he washed them off. And he filled back the pots with the honey so you couldn't see. I mean, this actually what happened was, like I said, he borrowed the honey for his party. He used the honey. At the same time, he stole the money. Later on, after the party was over, and it was during the day where he can go shopping, he got more honey. He put them back in the pots. He put it back in the pots, he covered it with honey to the top, and it looked exactly like the same, it looked exactly like it was before, exactly the same, pots full of honey. But this time, there was just honey and no
money.
And this is what happened. Kinalach. The woman came back from her trip after a few days or after a few weeks, whatever it was. But the thing is, she came back later and she came over to the man's house. Oh, hello. Hello, how are you? How was your trip? Oh, Baruch Hashem, I was away a long time. remember, you were watching the pots of honey in the basement, right? Oh, of course. They're safe and sound. In the basement they were the whole time, no problem. Well, since I'm back now, I'll need the pots of honey. Do you mind if I take them back to my house now? No, of course not. Let me help you take them out of the basement. And the man now lifted the pots out of the basement, and he brought them over to the woman's house. And now he went back to his house, and the woman had her pots of honey in her house. And of course, she thought it was honey with money, but of course, we know what happened. And now she wants to get out her money from the hiding place, and she starts pouring out her pots to get out the money. And all of a sudden, after she poured out the honey, she looked at the bottom of the pot. Oy vey, where's my money? I only see honey, but no money. And she started to cry. Oy vey, my money is gone. And the same thing with each of the pots. The money was gone. Oh, no. The man must have stolen my money from the honey. Now, here was a problem, Kinalach, because did anybody know, did anybody see that she put money in the honey? No. She did it in secret. Nobody saw. And this man stole it, and nobody saw that either. Now, if she's going to go complain, who's going to believe her if anybody says there was nothing there? It's a problem now. And we'll see what the problem was. She started to cry. She went over to the man's house. Excuse me, but you gave me back the pots with the honey, but I think there's something missing. Missing? What could be missing? Don't you see you gave me pots full of honey, and I gave you pots back full of honey, right? So there's nothing missing. After all, I gave you back exactly what you gave me. What are you upset about? What are you crying about? You look so upset. But you gave me back pots full of honey. Yes, I did, because you gave me pots full of honey. Well, did you find anything inside of there? Me? Find anything inside of there? What's to find in there? It's just it's pots full of honey, that's all. What should I find inside? Honey in a pot. Kinalach, the woman started to cry. She saw that the man must have stolen the money. He denies it. He says he didn't do it. How is she going to prove anything? Nobody saw. Well, she's got to do something. She went crying, Kinalach, all the way to the palace of the king. Now, the king at that time was the first king of the Yidden. His name was Sha'ol HaMelech. King Sha'ol. King Sha'ol was the first Melech, even before David. And of course, before Shlomi HaMelech. And she went to the palace of the king. And the king also acted as a judge for certain cases. And she wanted to go straight to the king. And she starts to cry. And she tells the king what happened. I'm an almana, I'm a widow. I had a lot of golden coins. I had to go away on a long trip, and I was afraid to leave my coins at home. So I put them in a hiding place. I hid them in the bottom of jars, and I poured honey over them. I took them to my neighbor, the man who lives next door, and I asked him to watch the pots of honey for me. And he did not know inside of the honey was money. And I thought that would be a good hiding place. And I came back from my trip. I picked up the pots of honey. I took them home. I poured out the honey into my own pots to get out the money. And in the bottom of the pots of honey, I didn't find my money. He must have stolen the money. And now I have none of my coins. I have no money. It's all stolen from me. What do I do? Shlomo Melech said, first I have to have the man who lives next door come here. I have to have both of you in front of me. I want to hear the whole case from both sides. And the servants go to call the man who lived next door to the woman. They bring him to the palace. And Shlomo Melech asked him, did this woman give you pots to hold in your house for her while she went away on a long trip? The man said, yes, she did. And Shlomo Melech said, what was in the pots? Oh, she gave me pots full of honey, up to the top. And Shlomo said, was there anything else in the pots? Anything else? Oh, no, just honey, that's all it was. I put it in my basement, and when she came back, I took them up and I gave it back to her exactly the same as I put it down. All I saw there was honey. You could see that there's honey in the pots. And Shlomo Melech said, nothing else was in the pots? Well, I only saw honey, and it was just there, the honey in the pots, until she came home. And the woman says, no, but there was money also in the honey. The man said, I didn't see any honey, any money. The man said, I didn't see any money. I just saw honey. The woman said, but there was money. And when I took it back to my house, there was only honey. Where's my money? The man says, how should I know? I only was washing pots full of honey. How should I know about any money? What money? You stole my money from my pots. It was full of golden coins. Me? I didn't do any such thing. I was holding pots of honey for you, watching it for you. Why do you accuse me of taking money from the honey? I only saw honey, no money. And the woman starts to cry. Oh, my money is gone. The only place it could be is that you took it. The man says, me? I didn't do anything. Just watching the pots of honey for you. Shlomo Melech says to the woman, he asked the woman, did anybody see you put the money in the pots? That they could be a witness? They can come and tell me about it? The woman says, no, I did it by myself and nobody saw. Well, Shlomo said, in case, only if you can prove the coins were there, then we can do something about it. Otherwise, if you can't prove there was any money there, and you got back your pots full of honey, I can't do anything for you. So Kinaloch, the man went home. Of course, inside he was laughing and happy because he got away with a big, big Aveda stealing. He got away with so much money. And he was laughing inside. Of course, on the outside, he just kept a straight face that nobody should know that he was happy. But inside he said, ha, 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 so much gold that I got from that honey. So much money. And the woman was crying. She was so sad. That man took all of my money and I can't do anything about it. She's crying through the streets of Yerushalayim. And all of a sudden, as she's going and crying through the streets of Yerushalayim, a young boy, and his name was David ben Yishai. David, a good boy, he sees this woman crying. A fine Yiddish lady crying like a baby. Something was very wrong. And David felt very bad for the lady. And he goes over to the lady, what's wrong? Can I help you? Is something wrong? I feel so bad for you. You're crying like that. Something terrible must have happened. Let me help. Maybe there's something I can do. And she told David the story of what happened. That she had been to the king, Shaul, and even Shaul couldn't help her. Who can help her? She had no witnesses. David said to the woman, I think I have a plan. Let me try. I think I can help you. David ran to the palace. He went to the king Shaul, and he asked Shaul permission. He says, King, I met the lady who was here before, and she was crying, and she told me what happened. Could I try something to see if I could help? There might be a way to help the lady. Shaul said to David, okay, you can try something, but what do you want to try? She had no witnesses. David said, look, I tell you, the way a Ganav works is that he works fast and he's at least a little bit nervous that he's going to get caught. If this man really stole the money, if there was money in the pots, probably some of the money stuck to the pots. And the king said, yeah, but if he would have stolen the money, you're not going to find anything there. He would have taken everything out. Even though the honey and the money stick together, he would have taken everything out. No, David says, that's the thing. Even if he did it in the basement, and even if the lady was away, but the way Aganov works fast and is a little bit nervous that somebody might catch him. He must have left some of the money by accident stuck to the pots, because the way it is that the honey and the money stick. So there's probably something left. Well, what do you want to do? Let me bring all the pots here. Let me have permission to bring the pots here. We'll smash them and we'll see if any money is stuck. It must be some of the money is stuck in the honey. But the king says, but if he did steal the money, nobody saw he did it in his house. So he would have gotten all the money. David says, no, but he must have left a few of the coins because he's a little bit nervous. Because if he did a ganeva, he's a little bit nervous, he's going to get caught. And he went a little bit too fast. There's probably going to be something left. Sure enough, Shaul gave David permission. They went to the woman's house now, and they asked the woman, let's bring your pots to the palace. We'll check them. But we have to have the man come also. They brought the pots to the palace. They poured out the honey. This is in front of the man and the woman. And at the bottom of the pots, they broke the bottom because, you know, you can't necessarily see all around, and at the very bottom, they're big pots, and maybe they have a little bit funny shape at the bottom. They broke it into pieces, and sure enough, there were two golden coins stuck in the bottom, in the side of one of the pots. And as soon as the man saw it, he got scared. Now, this is also a part of the Chochmah. He could have said, the woman, you know, she put money in the pots later to make me look like a liar or something. Or maybe she put money later. After all, the pots went to her house. But what did the man do? He got scared. And they were watching the man. This is also a part of the Chochmah over here. He didn't have the koyach to make up now another Baba Maisa when they discovered in the pot. They discovered the two coins. He could have said any other mice he wanted, but instead he went, he got scared. Oh, here's the Ganav, we caught him. We found money in the pot, it was stuck there, and that's a sign that there must have been money in the pots from before. And sure enough, they searched his whole house, and they found the hiding place, all of the other money that he stole. And she got her money back. And everybody saw that David, the young boy, was a very, very special boy. And of course, this is the same David that later on became David HaMelech. Now, the mother of the Tzemach Tzedek, her name was Dvorah Leah. She was the daughter of the Alter Rebbe. She passed away when she was young, and the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy. His name was then, of course, just Menachem Mendel, because Tzemach Tzedek, he got that name later when he wrote a sefer called the Tzemach Tzedek, so they called him the Tzemach Tzedek. His name was not the Tzemach Tzedek. His name was Menachem Mendel. Once, during Chodesh Elul, Dvorah Leah saw that her father, the Alter Rebbe, was very, very serious. He spent most of his time in his room all by himself, all alone. Dvorah Leah was very worried that something was very, very wrong. She spoke with her father, the Alter Rebbe, but he really didn't want to speak about it. Finally, he said that the Satan was making a terrible gzeda against Chassidus. But Dvorah Leah could feel in her father's words that the gzeda was even worse. It was even against her father's life. Her father's life, the Alter Rebbe's life, was in danger, Chas v'Shalom. This is what Dvorah Leah felt. She wanted him to live and lead the Chassidim. She thought, what can I do so that my father should live? Kinalach, do you remember what happened when Adam HaRishon, remember Adam could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world with his Ruach HaKodesh. He could even see far, far away in time, in the future, things that were going to happen later. He saw David HaMelech with his Ruach HaKodesh, and he saw that David was supposed to be born and pass away in the same day. That means that he would not even live to be a baby one day old. He would never grow up to be David HaMelech, Chas v'Shalom. What did Adam do? He decided to give 70 years of his own life to David, so that he could be David HaMelech. And Adam was supposed to live 1,000 years. He gave away 70 years. So in the end, Adam lived 930 years. And David was born on Shavuos, and he passed away on Shavuos exactly 70 years later. Now Dvorah Leah decided also to do the same thing, to give her life, her own life, to her father, that he should live. She wanted her decision to be accepted by Hashem. So she went to three of her father's greatest Hasidim, and she made a Beis Din, and she told them what she was planning to do, and she asked them that they must agree with her decision. Now every Rosh Hashanah, the Alter Rebbe would always bench Dvorah Leah with a bracha for a Shana Teva and Masuka. She should live to have a good and sweet year. That year, just before the Alter Rebbe was about to give her the bracha, she spoke up first, and she benched her father that he should have a Shana Teva Masuka, and she hurried away so that he could not give her a bracha. Kinalech, over Rosh Hashanah, Dvorah Leah began to feel not well. And by the time the day after Rosh Hashanah came, which is Sein Gedalia, Dvorah Leah passed away. So her yahrzeit is Sein Gedalia. She gave her life for her father, the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe lived another 22 years. And she left a little son, Menachem Mendel. And she asked the Alter Rebbe to watch over him. And there are many stories of things that happened when the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy. And one of the stories is a very interesting, cute story, that little Menachem Mendel used to be in the Alter Rebbe's room when the Alter Rebbe was davening. Sometimes the Alter Rebbe would daven b'yechidus, by himself. Some Helik HaTzadikim would daven even shachris, not in a minyan. They would probably answer to a minyan and be there by the minyan and answer all the amens and the kaddish and hear a kriya seteda. But they would daven by themselves. They would daven for a long time with a lot of kavana. And the Alter Rebbe would daven in his room with his tefillin. And the only one that was in the room with him was the Tzemach Tzedek, the little boy. And of course, the Tzemach Tzedek, being a little Halakha Tzadikal boy, used to love to watch his Zaydi, the Alter Rebbe, daven. And one time, this is what he did. He loved the Alter Rebbe's tefillin. Because a big man, a man over bar mitzvah, wears tefillin. A little boy, he doesn't wear tefillin. But the Tzemach Tzedek, he loved those tefillin, and he wanted to be like a big man already, even though he's a little boy. So while the Alter Rebbe was davening, he went to the kitchen, and he got two potatoes.